That's the nearest that we can become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we do so, we have to make the effort. We have to make wudu. We have to come to the masjid. We have to bow our heads in sujood. We make the effort, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises us up to Him in some way that human beings can be raised towards Him. But in this particular case, the angel Jibra'il was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to bring the Prophet alayhi salam. The example would be that let's say that you wanted to visit the mayor of Chicago. This is a simple example. You want to visit somebody important in the city. You consider the mayor to be important. Now you want to visit the mayor. One thing is that you drive your car and you park and then you go to see the mayor. The other thing is that the mayor sends his own driver to pick you up and take you to his office. Now imagine if the mayor sent his own car with his own driver to pick you up, what a great honor that would be. You would be telling everybody, right? Not only did I see the mayor, but let me explain, he sent his own driver to pick me up. So in this particular case, not only is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam going to make an ascension to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his greatest angel, the king of all angels, to pick up the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and accompany him on this particular journey. Actually, it's very interesting if you think about it historically and put it into perspective. In the history of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made two major journeys. Two journeys that define this deen. The first journey was the hijrah. The hijrah means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went from Mecca and he went to Medina. That journey was so essential that it is counted as the starting of Islam. In fact, when we start the Islamic calendar begins with what? It doesn't begin with the angel Jibra'il coming and revealing Iqra on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Instead, the Islamic calendar begins with the first of the hijrah. The first day after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made the hijrah, that is when the Islamic calendar begins, and that was the groundbreaking event in the history of Islam that established Islam in this dunya. The second important journey that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made was the Isra wal Mi'raj. It was the pinnacle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then went up and directly communicated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as you'll see as we move through the history, he went to a point where the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam himself said, I can go no further, you'll have to go by yourself. Now imagine how close the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam approached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is a groundbreaking event within this deen, because it was in that event that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it's through salah that each and every one of us have the opportunity to reach and approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so two major events. Now why am I telling you about these two major events? Because on each of these two major events, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose one companion for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made the hijrah from Mecca to Medina, he didn't do so alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the king of the Sahaba, Abu Bakr radiallahu an. And Abu Bakr radiallahu an accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Mecca all the way to Medina. Similarly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go on the Mi'raj, He did not choose for him to go alone. He provided him a companion, the king of the angels, and the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Jerusalem all the way up to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on both important journeys, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had two very important companions. So what lesson do we take from this according to the ulama? That when you make a journey, more important than the journey is the companion that you travel with. Now you think about how many journeys we undertake for the sake of the deen. Whether it be going to study Islam, whether it be going for Umrah, whether it be going for Hajj, you see that people, they spend so much time looking over the packages. Okay, which hotel am I going to be in? Which one gives me two meals a day? Which one gives me three meals a day? Right? Which one is putting me in air-conditioned tents? Which one is putting me in the regular tents? Actually, these are all secondary. The first question you should ask yourself when you make this important journey in your life, or such important journey in your life is who are the companions that are going with me? Who are the other people in the group? Who is the leader of the group? Who is going to be the scholar in the group? That is the number one question that should be asked when you make an Islamic journey, especially the Hajj and the Umrah. Anyway, that's a digression. The point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel Jibreel alayhi salam to pick up the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to take him all the way up to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we go on a journey, we have certain preparations that we make. For example, before you go on a journey, you go to the store, you buy everything that's important for that journey. Whether it be medicine that you need for that journey, whether it be the clothes that you're going to wear on that journey, whether it's going to be the suitcase that you're going to pack your things in during that journey. So when we go on a journey, we prepare for the journey before we go. In the same way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was prepared for this journey, and look at the way he was prepared for the journey, it highlights what type of journey was about to occur. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues in his own words, فَفَرَجَ صَدْرِي. So at that point, when I was sitting in front of the Kaaba, my chest was torn open. ثُمَّ غَسَلَهُ بِمَاءِ زَمْزَمْ. Then my chest, in particular my heart, was washed with the water of Zamzam. ثُمَّ جَاءَ بِطَسْطٍ. Then someone came with a tray. An individual came with a tray, مِنْ ذَهَبٍ, that was made from gold. مُمْتَلِي حِكْمَةً وَإِيمَانًا, that was full of wisdom and was full of iman. فَأَفْرَغَهُ فِي صَدْرِي. So that wisdom and that iman was taken from the golden tray and was placed in my chest. ثُمَّ أَتْبَقَهُ. Then my chest was closed. And this was the preparation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for this particular journey. Now imagine what type of important journey is about to occur. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he made this journey, his chest was cut open, it was ripped apart, iman and hikmah was brought on a tray, and those two things were filled into the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then his chest was sealed. Now, there are a couple things that we learn from this part of the hadith, which is just a continuation from the book of Imam Bukhari's narration. Number one, is that obviously, as I mentioned earlier, this was going to be a very special journey. But number two, there's actually some very important science that you learn from this particular part of the hadith. And to understand this science, actually you have to have studied biology and a little bit of history of cardiac surgery. Now, early in the 1950s and the 1960s, people did not believe that you could operate on the heart. Surgeons, they didn't believe that it was possible to operate on the heart. They knew you could operate on the GI tract, you could operate on the arm, you could operate on many different parts of the body. But there was a debate among surgeons, is it possible to operate on the heart or not? Why? Because obviously the beating of the heart is what keeps the body alive. So how could it be that you cut open the body and cut into the thing itself which keeps the body alive? So surgeons were debating this, and then late in the 60s, early, you know, around this time in the late 60s, people began to experiment on animals. And many people had different ideas about how would it be possible to operate on the human heart. So some people had the idea that you should take the blood out and create a separate column. That column will then drain into the body as the heart is disconnected from the circulation. Other people came up with the idea of producing an external heart. It was a machine that would beat blood through the body as the heart would be operated upon. And one group of surgeons, whose name was Harkin actually, he came up with the idea that what you should do is you should take the heart and you should put it on ice. Now when you put the heart on ice, what will happen is that the heart will begin to slow down because the ice will cool the muscle. And as the muscle cools, the heart will beat less frequently and with less force, and so that will require less oxygen to keep the heart alive. So he began with his theory, and subhanAllah, in this day and age, he is recognized for coming up with a concept called cardioplegia, which basically means that you cool the heart when you operate on it in order to decrease the amount of energy that it requires. Now, subhanAllah, he is given the credit of coming up with cardioplegia, but I'll tell you that from hadith 1400 years ago, in these types of events, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself underwent cardioplegia. We know that there were three independent occasions during which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart was operated on by the angels. This example that I gave you was the second example. In the very first example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about 6 years old, and all of you know this story. He was with his wet mother, Halima. And when he was with her, he was playing outside with some boys, and all of a sudden these two men came and they quote unquote kidnapped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now when they did so, it comes in hadith that they laid the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam down, they cut open his chest, and they removed a little black dot from his heart. When they removed that little black dot from his heart, they then closed his chest. And this is considered the first shakku sadr. Shakku sadr means the opening of the heart. Now if you go through that hadith more carefully, it's stated in one narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart was placed in a container of ice. Thalj. His heart was placed in a container of ice when that surgery occurred, when they removed that little black speck from his heart. So subhanAllah, what we give credit to a human being for from the late 60s, early 70s, was actually performed by the angels 1400 years ago on the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's just amazing when you go through hadith and you go through Quran and you see how the actual concepts of today's science are actually outlined 1400 years ago. It only further proves the veracity of this perfectly true and without a doubt deen. So anyway, this is another point that the ulama take out from this particular part of the hadith. Now, once the surgery was over, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was now prepared for the journey, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam brought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a big white horse. Now this big white horse is referred to differently in different hadith. First of all, the name of the animal was Buraq, from Baraqa. Buraq. And that actually comes in the book of Imam Bukhari. And that hadith, it says that this was a white animal. In another hadith, it mentions that the animal was between the size of a mule and a donkey. So you can imagine it was about the size of a donkey. It was a white animal. In another hadith, in the book of Imam Muslim, it says that despite the animal being so small,